Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On May 17th, prolific singer-songwriter and feminist icon Ani DiFranco released a new album entitled Unprecedented on her label Righteous Babe Records. A documentary film about Ani DiFranco, 1-800 On Her Own, will premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival on June 10th. The film, by Dana Floor, takes a look at Ani's life today as she struggles to balance artistry with the demands of family. DiFranco is currently starring as Persephone in the Tony and Grammy Award-winning Best Musical, Hadestown. In 2010, she invited Anais Mitchell to release the original studio album of Hadestown on Righteous Babe Records. DiFranco sang Persephone on the original album and has been playing the role 8 shows a week since this past February. She'll finish her run at the end of June. Her memoir, No Walls and the Recurring Dream, was a New York Times top 10 bestseller in 2019. Her debut children's book, The Knowing, is out now, and her next children's book, Show Up and Vote, is due in August. It is a great pleasure to welcome Ani DiFranco to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Sarah. Nice to be here.
Tell me about the collection of songs that you've put together on your new record, Unprecedented, and how you knew it was time to put this one out.
Well, like most things, all things creative with me, I just sort of intuitive. There's not really a logic that I can explain. And putting this record together was a long and meandering process. I was working with this incredible producer, BJ Burton, and he brought so much to the table and is such a big part of the sound of it. But he's also a wild card of a human who would sort of disappear for weeks and months at a time. And so I was just trying to go with it, go with the flow and not pressure the process, you know, not invent a deadline for myself, which is what I've done most of the time for the last 30 years, you know, just self-imposed. And I just let it play out naturally. And then at a certain point, again, intuitively, I just felt like, you know what, now I need to finish this now. And so that's when I sort of stepped on the gas, and that resulted in it coming out last week. And I feel like for whatever reason, my, you know, it's meant to be. Boy, the collection of songs, it's hard to know where to start. They were written for many different reasons in many different contexts, and they slowly fell together in this record. And I feel like, again, there is a hidden logic to it. The fact that they are all together now on this record and making a journey of sorts, there's certainly a lot of shared themes. So even though I had different things in mind when I was writing all these songs, I think they are related.
This is only the second time in your career that you have worked with another producer. You normally self-produce your albums. What was going on that made you want to invite another participant into this one?
You know, I've just made so many records on my own. So I feel like I've thoroughly explored everything I have to offer and then some. And looking back, you know, I mean, I guess there was a different reasons involved, you know. I mean, one, a big one was just the speed that I was moving at. For decades, I just couldn't be bothered to call the professionals and wait for them, put together then work, you know, again, like working even with this one person on this record was excruciating for me, you know, having to hold up the process and herd cats and all of that. So, I mean, that was one factor as to why I just always did it on my own, just to do it and be done and move on and whatever. But I've done that so many times. And more recently in my life, it started with bringing in a mixer. My last couple of records, I didn't mix myself for the first time. And bringing in an ace mixer was revelating to me. I was like, wow, whoa, okay, right. You can record the damn thing, you know, write it and sing it and play it and record it. And then you can up the ante even more mixing it, which is something I could never do on my own because I'm so, you know, my objectivity is gone and I'm so deep in it and I have all these preconceived notions. So I was, after having a mixer for the last few records, I thought, why didn't I do that earlier? So
sure.
This is the next step for me, a producer. Like, yeah, let me find somebody who can really participate in every way with me on a record, you know, make the big decisions. Like, is this recording too slow? Is this, you know, should it be in a different key? Should I play a different instrument? Should we take the guitar away altogether, which is something BJ sort of opted to do a lot on this record, which is counterintuitive for me because I'm best friends with my guitar, you know? So a lot of the songs on this record, the guitar is just kind of turned into a different sound by BJ. So anyway, I just thought, yeah, I want somebody else in the cockpit, so to speak, you know, helping me drive for a change.
Unprecedented is the title of the album, as we've mentioned. It's also the name of one of the songs, and I want to share part of it with the listening audience, with bleeps where needed. What does this song mean to you? What is some of the unprecedented that you have faced and wanted to convey in this song?
I mean, I almost hate to narrow it down because it applies to so many things, you know, and every listener has their version, I think, you know. I mean, we all just lived through a pandemic, and
right,
unless you were alive in 1918, we've all been through unprecedented challenges and changes and, you know, crises. I mean, start with the climate crisis. I mean, and continue on ad infinitum. You know, I think there's a real, real direct threat to our democracy, are the very underpinnings of our society that we are very blessed to be born into. And it's as fragile as anything that seems so concrete, you know? So that song is meant to speak to, you know, fill in the blank.
I got a lot of heart, but I can't afford to let it bleed. I can't afford to empathize, compromise, or concede. And I don't want to hear about it when the cold has reached your bones. Yes, I'm just thinking about that drink I'm gonna crack when I get back home. 'Cause in this job, I have seen some unprecedented shit, and I don't know if I have whatever this is. Whatever this is.
The song New Bible sounds different to me in a way that I can't put my finger on. Can you explain the sound and then the meaning and message of that song for you?
Yeah, well, maybe it's because I'm playing ukulele. It's the only song I've ever written on ukulele. So there you go.
That'll do it.
Oh, it is a baritone ukulele.
Okay, that could be it.
It's a pretty straight up recording. That one was less BJ-fied than other songs on the record. I mean, I guess, you know, it's just a song about sort of stepping back and questioning it all. Capitalism, patriarchy, you know, all the fundamentals that we're dealing with, and really trying to shake free some new creativity around it all. Reproductive freedom, for starters, I really feel that is not just about women's freedom and civil rights in my mind. It's really about step one to solving all of these social and political issues, you know? So that's why it factors heavily into this song, New Bible, because I think we have to start with free women to get to peace on earth, you know, because women and men, all genders, need to be at the table together at the design table, you know, for the right design to be created. You know, that's sort of the finds its way to the center of that song. You know, we need to start there with inclusion, you know, emancipation of women, inclusion of all of us, and then we figure it out together.
If that nurse don't get you, then her sister will, with her Monday through Sunday dispenser pills. Don't know which of my habits will be my demise, but there's more ways every day to betray what is wise. It troubles the body, all this hidden pollution, making some kind of cancer, foregone conclusion. And deep in my saddlebags I carry a rage for the greedy top feeders in their invisible cage. Oh, rise the proletariat, red banners unfurl. Let's mend the failures of history and the man-made world. Let's mend the failures of the profit system. Let's rewrite the law books. Quit following the path of least resistance, 'cause that's what makes the real crooked. Let's evolve into our true nature, so little flowers can't bloom in a world where relationship is sacred and sacrifice is assumed. All for one and one for all. Boom, chicka boom, boom, boom.
That's part of New Bible by our guest Ani DeFranco from her album Unprecedented Sh*t, now available on Righteous Babe Records. You are incredibly, incredibly busy right now. You've been busy for decades, but you're also incredibly busy right now. You're making your Broadway debut through June 30th as Persephone in Anais Mitchell's Hadestown, which you sang that role on the original concept album in 2010.
6 feet under, getting under your skin. Cabin fever is setting in. Yeah, you're stir crazy, you're stuck in a rut. Or you could use a little pick-me-up. I can give you what it is you crave. A little something from the good old days. I got the wind right here in a jar. I got the rain on tap at the bar. I got sunshine up on a shelf. Allow me to introduce myself. Brother, what's my name? My name is
Our Lady of the Underground.
Brother, what's my name? Brother, what's my name? My name is
Our Lady of the Upside Down.
Brother, what's my name? I'll tell you my name. Persephone.
What is it like to be on Broadway? Was it something that you saw for yourself at any point before it was happening?
Yeah, I'm going into my last month of a 6 month. I mean, I started rehearsals in January, and it's been completely kicking my ass. It's been really fun. I really love the people, the cast, all the people involved. It's a really wonderful vibe there at the Walter Kerr Theater over on 48th Street. Everyone has everyone's back. It's a lot of really dynamic, brilliant, kind, supportive, mutually respectful tribe, you know? And so I've been super blessed to be a part of it. And, you know, I think the work is brilliant. Hadestown is a brilliant piece of writing. And so I feel proud to be carrying the role of Persephone and making it come to life every night. But it's also just, wow, 8 shows a week is a crazy life to live. The Broadway life, you know, and, you know, most of the cast, I look around and they're all, not all, but a lot of them are half my age, you know, which
is, that will help.
It seems like, it seems like the only way to, it's possible. I am just hanging on by my fingernails to the 8-show-a-week gauntlet. And but everybody around me, I look around and everybody is just counting the moments to the end of that last Sunday show. We have Mondays off. It's our one day a week. And so it's really grueling. But I'm really glad that I signed up for a full 6 months, you know, and feel like I'm really in it. I'm really living the life and learning how challenging it really is.
Did you need to learn things that you don't typically learn for performance, like choreography and blocking? And
yeah.
Who teaches you that when you're taking over a role that has been running?
I mean, there is a battalion of leaders, bosses. For somebody like me who's never had a boss in my, well, since I was a teenager, early 20s, working day jobs, it's been really humbling. They are so specific, so exacting. So that was a really new thing for me compared to my life in performance up till now, which was super self-directed and intuitive, you know, the way I move, what I say, how I interface with the audience. And I tend to approach it really improvisationally when I'm doing me. This is a whole other bag of donuts. You know, it's extremely scripted, of course, and very specific, you know. So the rehearsal month was just a shock. I was in shock in so many ways. Like, oh, wow, point your finger. Nope, a little lower. Nope, a little high, you know, on beat two of measure three. And on this word, turn your head. Nope, too far. You know, just, oh my goodness. You know, this is, you know, when I walked out on my opening night, my head was just swimming with 10,000 instructions for every moment. And I had to, you know, it was a real process to overcome all that instruction and that cacophony of voices that had filled my head for a month and try to get back to that place of being intuitive and natural and bringing myself to it, you know.
You did sing the role on the original concept album. But if I'm right about the track listing, your first number in the show, as you're playing Persephone now, Living It Up on Top, wasn't part of that one, right? Wasn't part of the
original?
That's
right, yeah.
All right, so that's probably my favorite song in Hadestown. I mean, I love a lot of them, of course, but I love that introduction to Persephone. I love that song, the energy of it, the sound of it. Are you enjoying performing that one?
Yeah, totally. That one's a lot of dancing for me. Yeah. Which is really fun. It's a very old muscle that was very out of shape when I showed up here in New York. So it's really cool to pull that out of my deep, dark past. I thought I was going to be a dancer when I was a kid. That was where my heart was. And then it sort of moved into music by the time I was a young adult. But so it's like a really old love that I've rekindled.
Has your family or any close friends come to see you in Hadestown? And what do they think about watching you, who they know so well, perform a different character on a Broadway show?
Yeah. My brother and his wife and my mother just came last weekend. It was my mom's 91st birthday.
Oh, wow.
She came, and the whole cast, they were so sweet. After the show, we gathered in the theater and they all sang happy birthday to her. They're so kind. So it was incredible for her, you know. I think she had a great time. And but yeah, it's really funny for people that know me, you know, to just see me step on stage in heels and a dress and a wig and all this makeup, and it's ridiculous what I look like in this production, which is funny to me because most of the people on stage dress like I've dressed for 30 years, you know,
right.
Very low key combat boots and dirty t-shirts and, you know, and so it's funny that I am looking the way I am.
Right. The gussied up one.
Yeah. Yeah. Sparkly. But Yeah, that was another thing that just took me a while to acclimate to, you know, I would have these just moments of kind of personal crisis for the first bunch of weeks that I was doing the show of like, I just look down and think, what am I doing? What is going on? But now, you know, you get used to it. And now I just step into Persephone's dress and wig and I step out on stage and I get it now. I'm not Ani. It's not about what is Ani doing. It's Persephone time. And I just go all the way there.
Speaking of Ani time, though, there is a documentary that's going to be at Tribeca that's about you. It's called 1-800 On Her Own. Filmmaker Dana Flohr has created this documentary. How did this come to pass?
Dana Flohr she makes really cool documentaries. I saw a couple of them. Yeah, they're sort of very political, really. I mean, she made a doc called Check It that's about this queer gang in DC that sort of parlayed their community and kinship into a fashion enterprise. But it really shows the nitty-gritty life of these young people, you know, struggling to find their way in the world. She made a documentary about the mayor of DC, Barry, who has all these famous scandals around him and then somehow got reelected even after these very notable events, like some other politicians we might make analogies to. But yeah, when she approached me about doing a documentary, I thought, okay, cool. She has a purpose to what she does. You know, they're not 2-hour advertisements for something. You know, it's not about that. It's a very gritty, very real look at, I guess, you know, just the challenges really of being a wife and a mother and a touring performer and artist of, you know, trying to be a force in the world for something and also balance all the other things. So I think that's a big theme that came across. She sort of followed me around for the year that I made Revolutionary Love, my last record before Unprecedented. And so there's a lot of my journey in that year and then, you know, some looking back into the archives.
1-800 On Her Own, the film we've just been discussing, is premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival in June. So we'll all have to keep our eyes out for a wider release or streaming or what have you so that we can all see it if we can't all go to Tribeca. One more thing before I let you get some rest before your performance tonight. You have a new kids' book coming out in August called Show Up and Vote. Tell us about this book, please.
I love the artwork. I love Rochelle's art. It's so spunky and colorful and full of life. And yeah, it's what it sounds like. It's a book about voting, which I just feel like as children, you don't know necessarily or intuitively that citizenship is a part of being a grown up. That's a kind of an elusive aspect. It's not something that you see modeled every day necessarily, but I think it's really important that kids do that. I mean, I take my kids to vote with me. I usually vote in person if I can, and bring my kids so that they see it, so that they understand it as an important part of being grown. And I wanted to make a book that could help parents and kids talk about it, engage about voting and what it is and why it is, and maybe even get kids excited about doing it themselves someday.
Ani DeFranco, it has been the thrill of a lifetime to get to talk to you on Zoom today. I thank
Oh,
you so
shucks.
much for your thoughtful responses and your time. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ani DeFranco's new album is Unprecedented. It's available now on Righteous Babe Records. The doc about her is called 1-800 On Her Own, and she's playing Persephone in Hadestown on Broadway until June 30th. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at WAMC.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.